on FM, AM, online and digital radio.
This is BBC Three Counties Radio.
By and large, it's not known what's in them, probably even by the people who make them, because they have leaves and things half of the time. They're not even the right stuff, and there's no sort of real check on their genuineness or their concentration. There's no check on the dose. I once described herbal medicine in general as being using treatments of unknown efficacy and unknown toxicity on patients who have an unknown condition. So it's pretty disgraceful, I think.
But it must be quite worrying for people who've paid good money and who go to these places because they want to get better. They want an improvement in whatever condition they're suffering from, to be offered something which, quite frankly, they have no idea what's in there. And as you say, the people who are administering these treatments may have no idea what's in there. It can be quite dangerous. It sounds dangerous.
It can be, yes. People have been poisoned by contaminated Chinese herbs, and some of them are very toxic to the kidney, for example, and people have been killed by that. That particular one is banned, I think, but whether the ban works, or nobody really checks on whether the ban is effective or not. So, yes, they can be dangerous.
Have we lost something in translation? I mean, is there a sense that perhaps in China, these traditional, very old remedies had some were efficient in some way, but somehow the way they've ended up on our high streets, the impact has been lessened, and what we're being sold is, quite frankly, anything at all.
I don't think that's really the case. I don't think they ever worked, probably. It's just that in the old days, they had nothing else but that. Acupuncture was actually banned by the Chinese emperor in 1822 as being superstitious nonsense. And it was very much in decline, even in China. The sort of acupuncture you see now is not to do with ancient wisdom. It's to do with Mao Zedong, who revived it during the great cultural proletarian revolution as a sort of branch of nationalism. It was a purely political thing, which was then brought over by a rather gullible New York Times journalist to the West. So, of course, it's no longer Chinese nationalism and attempting to treat the masses cheaply. It's now just big business for China.
So, Professor, if someone has an ailment, whether it's psoriasis or acne or hair loss, or they want to lose weight, they need to start at their GP, not at these high street shops offering all sorts of almost instantaneous treatments.
Absolutely, yes. The reason, I think, why these all sorts of quackery are popular is desperation, because there are many things which conventional medicine can't do very much for. I mean, back pain's an obvious example. The fact that they don't get satisfaction from conventional treatments drives them into the hands of people who claim that they can fraudulently, but it's understandable that people should do that. An even better example than back pain might be cancer. It's quite illegal to claim that you can cure cancer, but the law is broken regularly. There are some sorts of cancer the treatments have improved quite a lot, breast cancer in particular, and others too. But there are other sorts which are pretty much of a death sentence still, and the treatment's hardly improved over 40 or 50 years.
So what about these certificates you see in this place? They have these sort of colourful certificates on the wall saying Dr. Wu, certified in herbal. That's all fake?
Probably there's some institution that will offer you a piece of paper, yes. I mean, they vary enormously. You know, Ben Goldacre famously got a certificate in nutrition for his dead cat by mail order and $60. there are much longer courses, but I don't really see that a longer course teaching you things that aren't true is any advantage over a short course, actually.